This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Got it. There he is. The man that keeps up with all the NILs in Saban's world. Manny Navarro, what'd you think of that, man? What'd you think of Saban going off? I thought that was so pathetic in so many different ways, and Jimbo Fisher ended up just like painting the perfect picture when it was all said and done.
It was really amazing to see two guys that, you know, basically own college football, right? Because they've got all this money that they've spent on recruits for years. And Jimbo, of course, you know, he did it at Florida State. He's doing it now at Texas A&M. And Nick's done it for years at Alabama, right? They basically have control of the thing. And they're coming out pointing fingers at each other. It's just stupid. Like, you know, you've been winning all this time. You're getting all these great players to come to your school. Why are you talking about this publicly?
So let me ask you something. Not that you'll probably tell us, but I would imagine that the editors at The Athletic said, boys and ladies, have at it, because there's going to be a lot of people talking. I mean,
yeah.
Nick Saban just opened up just a shit can of worms for his program now, because there's going to be a lot of people that have worked for him that are going to be more than willing to talk just to shut up his arrogant ass now, because that was the ultimate level of arrogance. That not only were you, you know, you're like Nico Toscani, which is Steven Seagal above the law.
Right.
If you remember that line, you think you're Nico Toscani, that you're above the law, that you can actually trash everybody and that there's not going to be any repercussions when everybody knows, you know, some of those people that you're trashing, they know you're dirty laundry, dude. How stupid can you be?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who know where the bodies are buried. And, you know, the hardest thing is reporters. And we talked about this in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago when we had our meeting there for The Athletic for a couple of days. It's how hard it is as a reporter to report these stories, because if you don't have receipts for all of this stuff, right, if you don't have text messages, or you don't have people who are spurned in this whole thing that want to kind of go after
corroborate it.
Yeah, corroborate it. You can't report it. It's just hearsay. It's been what it's been for, you know, a long time now, where people have talked about it since back in the SMU days, right?
Back in the 80s, like,
yeah,
I know a bunch of the stuff that went on with some of the UM players back in the days.
Right.
I mean, I was joking around with Omar that Michael Irvin was driving around a brand new 300ZX, bro, back in those days. I mean, give me a break, dude. Come on.
This has been going on forever. And now NIL has just made it, you know, you're allowed to talk about it now because of NIL, right? Before it was forbidden topic. But now everybody is trying to please it. I just find it comical because both of those guys, I mean, they finished number one and two. Why are the two guys fighting? The guys that are the number one and two recruiting classes, right? They can get any player they want. Why are they?
Well, number one wasn't fighting, and number one was thrown into the fight, right?
Right. But I mean, this whole thing of firing back. Like, if I was Jimbo, I would have just turned around and said, "Yeah, we have NIL now. We know what we're doing. We're the best at it."
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but no, you can't. If you're Jimbo, you can't do that, bro. He trashed your program. He kind of basically called you cheaters.
Well, he did. He called a lot of people cheaters. He called Ruiz a cheater.
Exactly. But what I'm saying, but Ruiz is not a coach, whereas this guy, like, worked for you. Like, what are you, crazy, bro? Are you, like, he knows a bunch of stuff that you did. Like, what's wrong with you? So that's where I'm going to be interested to see. And Jimbo can't be one of the guys can talk, because he then will hurt himself in the process.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But something's going to come from this, because – Your business specifically, your bosses, The Athletic, you guys are one of the leaders when it comes to college football coverage. And when it comes to investigative coverage, oh, Lordy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
well, if it's not you guys, then I'm expecting Charles Robinson to be, you know.
Right. Well, there's a lot of good
Charles to find out if they're going to sick him on them, because – you know, when Charles gets on it, then you're screwed too.
You got to remember too, again, I'm not talking specifically about any reporters in general, but some of these guys who have been so close to these stories, right, and getting tipped off that this player's transferring here or this player's going there, they can't exactly burn bridges either. These people are their sources for a lot of information.
Right.
You know, coaching changes, coaches being fired. They're the people in the know. It's just like the NFL, right? You can't exactly – a lot of NFL reporters can't exactly expose some of the people that they get their information from. They'd be brains. Right. That's where all this in bed with each other deal makes things convoluted. Well, and complicated.
That's why it has to come from a Charles Robinson who doesn't normally cover the college football and has no ties and doesn't give a shit if he pisses somebody off. But you're right. You know, there are certain college writers that probably, like Andy Staples, it doesn't benefit him to try to, you know, write this story because he needs everybody that he deals with every single day. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense, but it has to be an investigative report. What was the name of the ESPN guy, TJ something? What was his name that they always brought him out like a bulldog for all kinds?
There's a lot of people who just do investigative type.
Yeah,
stuff.
Who's that guy or woman for you guys?
Well, we all work in conjunction, to be honest, with our editors and our staff, and a lot of people hear stuff and then we call each other and tell each other, hey, this is what's going on. But we don't have one person in particular. Chris Kamrani, who's a very good young writer, he was covering Utah before. He's one of our national guys now that I think would tackle something like this. So, but again, you need a smoking gun. You need some proof. And if you don't have that, then you just have hearsay, then you can't really write anything because then you're going to get sued over it. So, look, the bigger question here is when do things change, right? Like, how does this? Is this just going to continue to be this way? And the NCAA just did something crazy. They allowed teams to not have to worry about the 25 initial counters now. So think about the roster turnover and the amount of player buying that's going to take place over the next 2 years. So when all of these coaches who have NIL budgets can look at their roster and say, you know what? We need 40 new guys, not 25.
Right.
Okay. And it's what's coming up, and I told you the tampering thing. I told you this months ago, right? Tampering, the whole thing with Jordan Addison and who was tampering with him, who's tampering with other kids to try to get them. That is going to be the story in college football in the weeks and months ahead, because now that we have this sort of free-for-all system based on kids being able to make money, it's really going to take off. And the fact that you don't have any scholarship limits other than the 85 – for the next 2 years, you're going to see a lot of roster turnover throughout college football.
Ruiz ended up retweeting something about Saban.
Yeah, he tried to partner with Deion because Saban also took a shot at Deion because of he said that Travis Hunter, the number one recruit in the country last year, who was supposed to go to Florida State and then flipped to Jackson State on signing day, went there because he got $1 million, right?
Right. Well, Saban stated in his speech that Miami Life Wallet paid a player $400K a year, but that's not true. NIL. Saban's statement contained admissions that he and the school involved themselves in the players' NIL deals. So Ruiz writes, wow, clear NCAA violation, because the schools cannot involve themselves in any of the NIL deals.
Actually. That's really the issue here, is the schools have to be involved. Like this whole notion that, you know, we're not going to involve, like, think about it. You think Ruiz is going to go and pay somebody or talk to them about NIL if Miami coaches don't want them in the program? Right. Like, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So at some point here, college football is just going to have to go to the pro system and just have general managers that work with these boosters who raise the money, whether it's a collective or a guy like John Ruiz, who's a businessman, and say, listen, these are the guys that we want on our team. These are the guys that we want to pay. These are the guys that are going to play big roles. And that's the way you're going to have to do it. It's just going to have to grow up and be a legitimate pay-for-play system. Until we get to that, you're going to have days like yesterday. You're going to continue to have coaches. And I know the SEC, Greg Sankey, you know, he kind of put out a message to all of his coaches not to talk about this. But, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, who's not going to continue to talk about this as we continue to come across these situations? I mean, think about how angry people are at Pittsburgh now that they lost Jordan Addison, that he went into the transfer portal and left. You know, Biletnikoff Award winner. What's going to happen next year? Think about right now, what if Miami next year gets to this phase and they lose, I don't know, 10 starters that all of a sudden go to Alabama or go to Georgia or go somewhere. What, you think Mario's going to stay quiet over that?
No. No, of course not.
So they just, it's kind of like at some point here, everybody just needs to grow up. Okay, stop saying we don't pay for guys, because you do. Okay, and just be honest about it. Be honest and just screw the system. It doesn't work anymore. It's antiquated. And you've been doing it the wrong way for a long time. Don't say we've been doing it the right way. That's not true. We've many teams have been doing it the wrong way for decades. And just accept the truth.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I get it. I totally understand. It's just and listen, I'm happy for the kids. I really am.
Those are the ones winning here. Absolutely. Yeah,
because after everything, all they've been is trashed and used, and most of them were, you know, fooled thinking that they were going to go to the NFL anyways, when just over 1% of them may get to the league. You know, that was the funny thing about Saban. Oh, well, I was just told that our players have produced $1 billion in the NFL. Yeah, those that made the NFL, dude, the ones that didn't, you know, they're working in, you know, drive-thrus, and, you know, they didn't really take education seriously and all that. So I'm glad that these kids, if this kid wants to make money and go to USC and leave Pittsburgh, well then, hey man, so be it. For many years, administrators and coaches did whatever the hell they wanted, and these kids had no rights and no nothing. And let me tell you something. 20 years ago when I was doing talk radio, I was an idiot, because I would say, I was the moron that would say, well, no, they're getting paid, they're getting an education. You know, and I was stupid enough to use that as some kind of a tool and using it against the players for not taking advantage of it. When, what the hell, dude? Maybe they don't want to be a lawyer, or they don't want to be any, they want to be a football player, and that's it, dude. That's who they want to be. And, you know, you can't tell somebody what they want to be. And if they don't want to study, they don't want to study, dude. Plenty of people don't like school. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, some guys just want to play football or basketball or whatever. And all you want to do is show your football or basketball team on television and make money. So everybody's using everybody. So I'm glad that the players get their turn now to use whoever the hell they want to use.
Think about De'Aaron King, right? A year ago at this time, or not even a year ago, because they didn't even start July 1st. But he's the perfect example, right? Like, why come back for your sixth year or seventh year, however many years he was here in Catholic forever? But he would not have made that money otherwise. We know it. He just got cut by the Patriots. Maybe he makes it in the Canadian Football League or some other league, right? But that's not the same kind of money that he was making last year as a Hurricane.
Right. God bless him, man. Take advantage of it, because all they've done is take advantage of you. They're just using you to make their TV money. And they're not sharing their TV money with you, and they don't care. So, yeah, it's sad. But, you know, everybody uses everybody. And I'm glad that the players at least have some kind of leverage now. All right, on the recruiting side, is there any new names, transfer portal-wise or whatever, that you might be looking at?
Well, I mean, we'll see in the transfer portal. I think, you know, again, I told you, I think they're two scholarships shy of the 85. So they can still add all the way up until – up until fall practice, really, when the fall semester starts. So with graduate transfers and whoever's in the portal right now. But, you know, now it's kind of, we've kind of turned our focus now to the high school recruiting, right? Because you have all these kids that are going to be on campus in June, starting, you know, with a quote unquote official visits. You have all these unofficial visits. They've just continued to rack up visits, you know, getting kids on campus. That's an important thing here in this whole process, because, you know, a lot of the elite kids, the top 200, 250 kids, this is the way they do it now. Everybody takes their official visit during the summer. And that's when they, and then they, and then you, it's almost like you have to have them come back to come watch a game, or, you know, come back unofficially or whatever. And that's how you kind of stay in the race. I wrote this in my mailbag this week. Oh, to me, the high school recruiting, the importance of it because of the transfer portal and because of NIL is really, I mean, this time of year is just, to me, yes, you want them on campus, but outside of that, the race isn't finished until November, December, because right now so many college coaches are looking, at their roster saying, well, who can we add from another college program, not a high school program, that could help us immediately at this position or that position? So to me, everything starts now with the transfer portal. And yes, they're still going to fight over the top 200, 250 kids every single year because you're going to want those kids in your system. But the reality is so many of those kids now, they're just leaving after a year or two. They'll sign with Alabama. Right. They'll sign with Georgia. And they'll be a 4 or 5-star recruit. And then the next thing you know, 2 years later, they're in the transfer portal and they never played. Like Tyreek Stevenson's a perfect example. He played a little bit, but he wasn't happy with his role. What did he do? He came here to Miami where he knew he'd be the number one guy for 2 years and help, try to help his draft status. So the recruiting has obviously, the whole philosophy behind it has changed. Again, yes, pay attention to who visits, okay, among the high school kids, but don't really worry until November, December about who they're talking about because it really doesn't matter. There's so much turnover roster year to year to year. You know, a guy that Miami might not be in the race for right now, maybe, you know, come November, December, like for the running back positions, for instance, right? We're talking about how overloaded they are at running back. They've got 5 guys. Well, what if Jalen Knighton has a great year and goes pro? What if Don Chaney says, I'm hitting the transfer portal? And you know, so all of a sudden now, a high school running back who may look at Miami's roster and say, oh, they got too many guys there. I'm not going to wait. Now, all of a sudden, there's 2 or 3 guys leaving, and there's an opening for them. So that's what I'm saying. You can monitor this, but the reality is roster construction, as we knew it, is now like it's a scramble because staff changes, right? Kids aren't going to stick around. Hey, this position coach left to this program. So you can sit here and look at all these commitments and say, hey, Miami's got 5 commitments. They're ranked 31st in the team rankings and blah, blah, blah. Dude, the whole way we've looked at it for a long time is over because of the transfer portal.
Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. More importantly, please subscribe to The Athletic so you can support Manny and all the other great writers there locally, nationally, and internationally too, covering a little football also there for you. Manny, have a great weekend, my friend. We will catch up next week.
You too, brother. Have a good one.
You got it. There you go. The great Manny Navarro.